Whoa there, doggy. Whoa, it's howdy doody time. Remember howdy doody? Yeah, well, it's howdy doody time coming to you live from the luxurious bedroom of Alex and Nicholas. And you know, it's decked out with gray paint on the wall, some water stains on the roof, and frankly, I can't wait to get the fuck out of this house now. Me and my wife both, you know, we're talking about buying a house and all this other kind of shit, but you know what? It's like, ugh. You know, you got a house, you're stuck somewhere. You know, once you buy the house, you're stuck. Then you got to sell the fucking thing. You know, I mean, you could pay cash on it and then just fucking give up the goddamn thing and just let it sit there and people take it over and then, you know, ruin it, if you want to take off. But, you know, I mean, I want a house and everything, but I don't want to be in debt. I hate being in debt. And, I like having cash. You know, this house is a good deal and everything, but today's been, this week has been a rough week for me. And I don't want to bitch and moan. Because I'm not bitching and moaning. Honestly, I'm not. I'm just worn out. Fucking worn out. All right? Let me give you a little backstory here. All right? You know, everybody, when they come to Thailand, I don't know what it is, but, you know, I'll tell you something. I've been here 20 fucking years now, and I've almost forgotten what it was like when I first came here. I still remember some of the little situations I was in and things that happened and, you know, women and that sort of thing. But for the most part, you know, I've forgotten it, man. It's like, this place is just my home now, you know, and if people didn't remind me that this was Thailand, I probably wouldn't even think about it. You know, I mean, because in most situations, I can speak Thai to people and I can carry on a conversation very easily, and they understand me, I understand them, and most of the time, everything is simple. I mean, this is just like me living back in Southern California or living in Florida where I grew up. It's no different. You know, and I kind of feel like, I guess what it is I feel a letdown. Because I went to Nepal, and man, let me tell you, I love Nepal. It's a nice place, and I can see that if I went out into the villages that it would be really cool. But, you know, I don't know how to explain this in any other way than just to say it. But, you know, it's a great thing when you go and you travel and you're meeting new people and everybody's friendly and you're having a good time. But it is draining. It's work. And I got all these photographs, and I got some great photos this time. And a lot of them were taken with my crappy little film cameras. I have one film camera. I have several that are pretty good, but they're not fantastic. They're not like Leica grade cameras. And I had thought about bringing my Nikon F100, which is a pretty damn good camera. And I just decided not to because it was so heavy, you know. And I think I'm getting to the point now where I either want to bring one digital camera with one lens, like the camera that I have a Fuji XE1, that thing's perfectly acceptable. I could buy a little pancake lens and the thing would be fine. And you know, I really believe that it's not so much the camera as it is the photographer, because if you don't know how to frame a shot and you know, how to compose a shot and how to find the light and how to talk to people if you're photographing people, you're never going to get a good shot. So I don't really care so much about the camera, but I like the camera to fit how I feel when I'm walking around, when I'm doing things. And, you know, when I went to Nepal, I was lugging around all kinds of gear, and I hope I never lug the gear around again. And I'll be honest, the video footage that I got, I wanted more and I wanted better, but a lot of the stuff I got is still good. It's quite good, some of it. Some of it's okay. Some of it's shit. I wanted better and I wanted more. But, you know, it's like I'm carrying around two film cameras, a digital camera, a second lens for the digital camera, a GoPro, like a, what do you call this, a pistol grip so you can hold the thing, batteries, memory cards, and then I'm freezing my balls off most of the time. And, it was a lot of work. And then you're meeting people, and you're trying to talk to them, and you got all this freaking gear all over you. And so my point is that basically I went to Nepal, had a great time. It was work, but it was a lot of fun. But it is work. And then I came back, and now I'm realizing I've suffered a bit of a letdown. How was it? What did we do here? I'm trying to think. My wife, she came back from a business trip that she was on. And the day she came back, I guess, in the afternoon. We had all afternoon together. We had all night together. And in the morning, I left for Nepal. And I was gone for 8 days. And then I came back, and she was gone 3 days later. She had to go on another trip. And, you know, that's okay. I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and we're working towards different goals that we have. It's not always easy, and, you know, what can I say? You know, it's like if you got an old lady and you're used to sleeping with her every night, you don't sleep with her every night, hey, you know. I'm not going to get into it, but I think you understand what I'm saying. And, all that, and then with the Nepal, and then I've been trying to get my book together. Now it's finally done. And I'm suffering a letdown from the book being finished now. Now I'm like, wow. I've been working on it, and, you know, frankly, I worked on it way too fucking long. I'm pissed off at myself how long I took. But you know what? I'm not going to let myself get down about it, but I'm just pissed off that I didn't get it done faster because I could have done it faster. I could have done it a lot faster, but I'm spread too thin. And that's, I guess, where I'm at today. I listen to these guys who have podcasts and who have radio shows and have video shows on YouTube or whatever, and they've got a sidekick, and they've got this person and that person. They've got a helper, and they've got... I don't have any of that shit. Now, I did go to Nepal with a buddy, and he was pretty helpful. So I managed to get some video footage and some photos that I probably wouldn't have been able to get without him, which is great. And there's a chance I might go to Vietnam or Vietnam and Cambodia in the beginning of the next month. It all depends on the money, and right now I don't have any money because I spent it on putting my book together and going to Nepal, and, I'm tapped. So I guess that's a good segue into, hey, buy my book. The name of the book is They Call Me Farang, and it's Farang, and it's not necessarily because any one person called me Farang, but it's because Thai people in general always call you Farang. They don't always call you Kontong Chat. They don't call you that. They call you Farang. And, I just heard somebody say it yesterday or day before, and I heard somebody say it today when I was walking by. Oh, the Farang, they do this and they do that. And it's like, oh, Jesus. It's like, is that all? You know, and sometimes I get frustrated with this place because I think to myself, I got my wife and my kids. I've got a handful of friends that are, and my friends, all the friends that I have are very, very good friends. I've either known them a long time or I haven't known them a long time, but I feel comfortable with them and I trust them and all that kind of thing. But I have a handful of friends. And sometimes that's plenty. And sometimes it's like, you know, hey, well, you know. Sometimes it's nice to be able to travel somewhere with somebody. My wife can't always travel with me. It's nice to be able to do certain things, you know, with other people besides your family. And sometimes my friends, you know, my friends, they're working or they can't go somewhere or they don't want to go, whatever it is. So I guess the whole gist of what I'm saying is that I've suffered a letdown. I'm a little down because of, you know, I went to Nepal, I got that done, it was a wonderful trip, and I still got to go through my photos and the videos, which, by the way, I'm behind again on my videos, and I'm going to slap up like 2 videos in the next day or two in the member section. As far as YouTube goes, I mean, you know, it's nice I get the videos up for them and everything, but you know what? I'll get them up when I get them up, because the vast majority of those people do not pay me a cent, so if they don't like it, tough shit. Okay, that's the way I think. And at this point, I mean, I've gotten to the point now where, okay, I wrote the book, and I think that, I'll be completely honest with what I think, and I'm very hard on myself about my photography and about my writing, okay? I'm not a fantastic writer, but I think at times I have little flashes of brilliance, and I think I'm a better than average writer, and I think I put together some good stories. Some of the stories might be a little bit rude and crude for some people, especially women. It may be a little misogynistic for some people, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's a book. It's a bunch of stories. So if people don't like it, that's fine. I mean, if women don't like it and they find me misogynistic, fine, whatever. I don't give a fuck. I frankly don't give a shit what anybody thinks about me. You know, I heard something the other day about how the reason that Donald Trump is so successful right now, he's being so successful, is because he's willing to say fuck you to everybody. He's like, I don't give a shit. You're not going to tell me how to think and what to say. And because of that, people like him. Well, you know what? I'm not trying to compare myself to Donald Trump, but, you know, if, frankly, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about me. Or I don't like people telling me how I should think and how I should not think. Oh, fuck you. You know what I mean? Seriously. I'm in that kind of a mood now where if they don't like what I'm saying, if somebody doesn't like what I'm saying, they can kiss my ass. Hey, you know, the thing is about the Donald Trump said about letting Muslims into the country. He's got a fucking point, man. Because... well, I definitely don't believe that all Muslims are bad people, not by any stretch of the imagination. I believe that there are enough people out there who hate Americans and hate Europeans and hate infidels. There is such a hatred, they will do anything to kill them, and that means San Bernardino, baby, that was right down the street from where I used to live, okay? I lived in Riverside, not far from San Bernardino, and I also lived in Redlands. So I was in that vicinity, the Inland Empire. I don't know exactly where it was that it took place, but I was in that area. So that doesn't make me feel very good, because that's where I lived for quite some time. I worked there. I mean, I used to box in Pomona. I used to live in Pomona. I lived in Ontario. I worked in Ontario. I lived in Redlands. I lived in Huntington Beach. I lived all over the fucking place, you know. And now I'm tired. I don't want to move. You know, it's like I talked to my old lady, and I'm like, hey, if we're going to move, I want to make it a move where we're not going to move again for a long time, because by the time we move again, I'm going to be even older. And believe me, I don't want to be breaking my back moving the fucking furniture. I want to just be able to have the money and go, here, buddy, move this shit for me and don't break anything, please. You know? That's where I'm at right now. I mean, and, you know, I talked about my book, which, you know, okay, great. There are definitely some funny stories and some extremely funny passages. And the way that I know that they're funny is because, well, at least that they're funny to me, is because I come back and usually it's the same passages or the same situations that I'm laughing at. And then the people that I've shown them, they're laughing at those passages too. And they're asking me to write some of these phrases down because they're classic phrases. So I do think that it's a good book. However, I've got like three other books that I can write. One is a nonfiction, and two are fiction. And really what I want to do is I want to make a book on photography because it's so hard to get in as a photographer and make a great living at this point. It's really hard for somebody like me. I don't have the energy to run around and run all over the fucking world there's some people out there. There's a guy named, what's his name? Joey L. Look him up. He's a young kid. Fantastic photographer. I don't always like his work, but he's a very, very good photographer. And the thing about me is that even though I've been doing photography for a long time, I really got started in a career and as selling my work when I was in my 30s, late 30s. And now I'm just starting to figure out what I really like to shoot and what I don't like to shoot. I like landscape photography. I like street photography, and I like travel photography. I used to like sports photography, but I've just kind of lost interest in sports now because it means absolutely nothing to me. I don't know why. I mean, if the event was big enough, I would probably go photograph it. I mean, I used to go to all the big fights here in Asia and photograph everything. And I've got so many photographs, and I don't even know. I've got to look for some of the ones. I've got them on CD, on DVD, on external hard drives. I got to go through them and pick out the best ones. Again, I have to look through them and just double check because sometimes, you know, after a year or two or a couple of years, 10 years, you go back and you go, why didn't I think this one was a good one? This is a great photo, you know. Now, like I said, I've got this letdown, kind of this emotional letdown. And there, I have an opportunity to go to Vietnam next month. I just don't know if I got the money. I don't think I'm going to have it. I wish I did, even to go for 3 or 4 days. I don't know, unless I make a little money in the next couple of weeks. I don't think I'm going to be able to go. Maybe I'll go at the end of next month. But, you know, I still haven't caught up from my Nepal trip. And if I'm going to do a book, which I do want to do, at some point I want to do a book of my photography because I know I have quite a few very good photographs and I have some excellent photographs. And then I have some shit. But I really would like to do that. And the other thing is, you know, setting up a photo book is much different than just setting up a book that's primarily text or all text. It's very simple to set up a book that's text. When it's a book, it's much, much different. It's more expensive, which means that any money I make from my book now, I need to put it into a photo book or into the next book. And, you know, it's just, it's like a constant juggling act. You know, hey, we pay the bills, we're getting ahead, we save a little money, and hopefully I got some left over that I can put towards the next project, you know, and that's how it is. And I've been wanting to go to Africa for 3-4 years now, well, for a long time, but really for the last couple of years I've been wanting to go to Africa, and I just can't afford it. You know, I don't know what's happened with Ecuador right now. I need to call my buddy up and talk to him about it. I do believe that my family and I are going to go to the United States, and that's the kind of trip where I'm going to take my sweet ass time. I'm not going to rush my trip. I might go out in the Everglades and photograph some things out in the Everglades, but I don't know that I have the right equipment. I may need to buy some equipment. I've been meaning, for those of you who don't know, although I like digital photography and I like the speed and convenience of it and you get to see everything, you get to know right away, hey, my photos are sharp, they look good, they're going to look great when you print them out, or you have a pretty good idea. Whereas with film, you don't know shit. You're just like, hey, you know, what do I got? And you don't know. You could have complete trash.
You could have a couple of rolls of film that, hey, they didn't come out, or they look like crap. They're completely underexposed or overexposed. Nevertheless, although I like digital photography, now the way that my life is set up and my mentality is my approach, I guess you would say, towards travel and towards photography has changed. In the past, it was go take boxing photos, and get them back to the magazine or get them to wherever, to a newspaper as quickly as possible, and try to make money from them. But now it's more of a slow process for me. Go to Nepal, take photos. Nobody gives a shit. I mean, listen, I could put up a couple photos from my iPhone from Nepal, and most people, they're either not going to know the difference or they don't give a shit about the quality of the photo, as long as the photos are interesting. Most people don't give a shit, so I could use my iPhone. And then I could take film photographs of everything and just develop everything when I get home, which I did that with, but I think I developed like 7 rolls of film. I did about a roll a day, which is not enough in my opinion. But I've been thinking about getting, like, trying to stash enough money for an old Leica that's in great shape, like a Leica M3, Leica M4, something like that. Or even something like a Nikon F3. I just need something with aperture priority and something that has a nice viewfinder and the range finder, it's bright inside and I'll be able to see. I've got a Minolta and the focus is just, it's so difficult to see if you're focused sharply or not. I think it's the, what is that thing? Minolta Hi-Matic, I don't even remember. I think it's the 7.2 or something like that. And it's very difficult to focus with it because the focusing in the center of this focusing ring, in the center, the circle, as opposed to something like a Nikon or like a Leica that tends to be very bright and you can see it and you can see if you're sharp or not, if you're completely focused, you're perfectly focused. The Minolta was kind of, the one was kind of shit. And I don't use that camera anymore, even though it still works. I rarely ever use it now. Because I feel like I'm pissing in the fucking wind. You know, it's like I start pointing at thing and I'm like, I don't know if I'm focusing properly or not. It's a fucking zone focus, you know. I'm focusing by distance. And even when I have the little focus, I can't even call it a ring or a focus dot. Because you could barely see the fucking thing. So I've been thinking about buying a really nice film camera. And I mean like a nice a Nikon F3 would probably run you about $500. And I've got a couple of Nikon lenses, but I mean for another $500 I could buy probably one or two really nice Nikon lenses. As opposed to buying a Leica that would cost me about $1,500, which I don't really have. And then you got to buy the fucking the lens. And I thought about buying a Voigtlander, but you know, everybody who I see has a Voigtlander say they all break down and they're not that durable. And so, you know, I'm just like, the thing is that I want to do less videos. I'll be honest, I want to do less videos on YouTube. I want to put higher quality videos in the member section because I still like doing them. I feel like I'm stretched so fucking thin that it's very difficult for me to do everything in my life that I want to do and that I need to do. And the things that I want to do, I don't generally do very often anymore. I used to watch TV every night at, say, 8 or 9 o'clock at night. My wife would come home. She would eat dinner, we'd chill out for a little while, we'd watch a little TV or whatever, you know, and just chill out for a couple hours. I don't do that very often now. Now I work, you know, for hours. I mean, you know, it's like I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and it's kind of like
at 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'm like, oh, I should watch a show. I start watching 5 minutes of the show. Next thing I know, I'm fucking knocked out. And I don't like that. I didn't come to fucking Thailand to be like that. You know, I mean, and I and frankly, and there is one person who, well, he was the guy who I went to Nepal with. He knows how I am. He knows that although money is important, money is not my motivator. My motivator is I want to take great photographs. If I had a choice of being a great writer or a great photographer, I don't know which one I would be, you see, because I don't think I'm great at either of them. I think I'm good, but I don't think I'm great, you know, and I temper my, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, I'm thinking a little slow today, you know, I temper my opinion of myself with a sharp knife. In other words, I don't allow myself to think extremely highly of myself unless I think it really is warranted. And, you know, I think that I have the capability of being a very good photographer. I think I'm good now. I don't think I'm great. I think I'm verging on very good, you know, at times. And I think I'm a good writer, verging on very good. And I think maybe I will probably continue to get better if I continue to write. That's how it usually works. And I've continued to improve as a photographer in the last, say, 5 years, especially the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 years. But I'm thinking about like even getting like a Hasselblad. If anybody out there knows, Hasselblad 500C, beautiful camera. But it's a very slow camera. You know, you're looking down into a mirror, a prism, and then you see out of the lens, and you've got a back on the, you have to change the back of the camera to put the film in. It's not just a 35 millimeter camera. Now, the bonus with that is you get to take, magnify your finished piece of film and get a bigger print, and the print retains its quality as opposed to a 35 millimeter, which, you know, you can really only blow it up so much before you start losing detail. And this is kind of what I want. I want to do that. I enjoy traveling, but you know what? I'm going to put some film up of me photographing this little girl. And my wife didn't really like it because she says, you know, people are going to think that you're messing around with this little girl or something. And it's like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, give me a break. I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. But I mean, I had my buddy was with me, this little girl. This poor little thing comes running up. Will you take a photo of me? Take a photo of me. I'm like, okay. I start taking a photo. Next thing you know, she's a little Miss Supermodel. And she's standing up against a wall. And she was hilarious. And she was a great subject. So I want to show, you know, that's the kind of stuff. And it doesn't matter if it's a kid or an old woman or whoever it is. But I enjoy that, interacting with people. And it's not even the traveling part. I mean, yeah, it's great that I get to see different things. And it's just, I'm in somewhere completely new. It's like going from, say, being in the Flintstones cartoon and taking photographs there, and then going to the Jetsons, or Tom and Jerry, or the Pink Panther, and you get to take pictures in that environment. That, to me, that's what it's like, okay? And that's really what I like to do. And with the thing with the film and the and video is that it's a fucking pain in the ass when you're trying to take photographs. And you're trying to, okay, what do I do right now? Should I videotape this? Should I film this? Or should I take photos? Shit, there's a great thing over there. I better take photos of it. Oh, shit, I better get that video of this shot from right here before the light changes. And the next thing you know, you're going, oh, fuck me, man. I can only do what I can do. So that's why it was nice to have a buddy in Nepal. And sometimes it is nice to have somebody there to help you out. So I don't know really what the point of this podcast is, other than to, I don't know, maybe I am bitching and whining.
But the thing that I guess maybe, I guess the point that, the takeaway from this is that, you know, if you're going to come here, I guess if you, if I had come here when I was 50 and I had been here 20 years, you know, I'd be 70 years old. Now, at 70, I would hope I'm still at least somewhat active, and I would have some hobbies, and I would be wanting to do some things. I came here, I was a young man. You know, I mean, I was basically 32, 33 years old. And, well, I had just turned 33. I think that's what it was. I've been 33 for a month. And I moved here. So, you know, my life has changed drastically. And I mean drastically since I first arrived here. And, you know, this is the thing. In writing this book, now looking back, I see what a different person I am. Because when I first came here, everything was about I wanted to train in Muay Thai and I wanted to bang as many women as I could. I just wanted a lot of sex and I wanted exercise. I wanted to train in Muay Thai. And then eventually I was like, you know, I'm never going to be a great pro fighter. It's not going to happen. I'm just a little too old. I started a little bit too late. And although I can hold my own, my hands have always been better than hands and feet. And I've never been a great kicker because I got short, stubby little legs. You know, I got little pig legs, porky pig legs. So my kicks are not exactly long and, you know, I've got great reach and I'm throwing out round kicks or side kicks or front kicks, and you know, people are stopped in their tracks by them. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, my legs are probably an inch longer than my arms, so it's not like I got that much of an advantage if I'm kicking stubby little fucking things. You know, when I first came here, that's all I was doing, and I was just getting to know the place. Well, you know what? Now I know the place. I know Thailand. This is, and I guess something else is that if you're here for 20 years, I guess at some point you're just going to go, wow, it's not, I'll tell you what, it is nowhere near as exotic as it used to be. It's just another place and people are doing the, and I hear all these things, oh, Thai women are like this and Thai, you know, oh, my wife is going to do this and my wife, oh, Jesus Christ. You know what? My wife is about this fucking same as the girls that I went with back in the United States, except she's generally nicer and more mellow. Other than that, she's the same. It's not like she's all, I mean, you know, she does believe in ghosts, but not like a lot of Thai girls who are completely freaked out. She just goes, yeah, I believe they're around, but I don't know. And that's it. She doesn't get freaked out about it. Which is good, because, you know, if I had some Thai girl who's, you know, getting freaked out all the time about, oh, we can't go in there, there's ghosts, oh my God. Ugh, you know, that would irritate the shit out of me. So, I mean, I read sometimes on Thai Visa, and I fucking hate that. I'll just say it flat out. I hate that fucking website with a passion. And while there are some good people on there, because I know some of them are my friends. The vast majority of people seem to think that they know more than everybody, and they're so much. And it's not that they know more; it's they think they're better, and that certain situations could never happen to them. And I'm here to tell you that just about everything that I've ever talked about with, aside from not being ripped off by a woman for a large amount of money, just about everything else has happened to me that has happened to you or to the people that write in, to the chowder heads, to the dummies, whatever you want to call it. Although, you know, I wasn't as stupid as like somebody like Oz the Israeli or the guy who had the girlfriend with the shitty ass. The Cambodian girlfriend who walks around blissfully unaware that she has a shitty asshole. You know, I mean, I've never been like that. I've never been that far gone. But, hey, we all make mistakes. And the one thing that I don't like about that fucking website is that there are so many people ready to jump on people. And I will say this because they did it to me, is here I was a credentialed fucking journalist who covered the fucking Olympics, and although I was, you know, I was never a major correspondent or anything like that, I mean, I worked for 10 years, and I was credentialed. So, right there, everybody else can kiss my fucking ass, because I managed to be credentialed. I managed to get credentialed, credentials, and I had magazines who I was their correspondent, and I worked for them. And so when I went on to the website the one time a while back when Thai Immigration came to me and asked to talk to me, and then I went out of the, just trying to be helpful to people, and I went on the site and put up my video saying that these were the changes that were happening, and this is what, and people, who the fuck are you? Who do you think you are? Oh, fuck you, you fucking piece of shit. Shut your mouth and go drink, stick your nose back in your beer, you fucking donkey. That's how I felt. And then all of a sudden, once George, who I guess he had some problems, or I don't know what the fuck happened, he sold his business, he's not his site anymore, the guy that I dealt with, George said, let me see what I could do. He said, he talked to me. He said, oh, yeah, I see you were credentialed and you did this. You've been a journalist, blah, 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 blah. He fucking wrote something on the site. Now, all of a sudden, they just ignored the fact that they were talking shit about me. And they just went right to the details, which I don't give a fuck. I wasn't out for any fame. You fucking momos. Jesus Christ. All you cocksuckers on that fucking Thai visa, guess what? You can lick my asshole, okay? That's how I feel about you. Lick my ass, and if you don't like me, come talk to me and tell me you don't like me to my face. I have a lot more respect for you. Instead of being a fucking troll or talking shit behind my back or going on fucking Thai visa and going, who's this fucking guy think he is? Ugh. I'm a guy who's probably lived a fucking hell of a lot more than you have. You fucking lazy cunt. Jesus Christ. These guys wouldn't know a decent woman if she bit him on the fucking ass. You know, that's the other thing. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna get a little bit fucking detailed here. Now, when I met my wife, okay, she was in university. She was a college student. She was just getting ready to finish university. Now, she was a nice-looking girl. I always told her, you're my Tahitian girl. You're like my little Tahitian girl. You look like you're from Tahiti. She reminded me of the chick in Mutiny on the Bounty with, what's his name? Marlon Brando. She kind of reminded me of that one, except her face wasn't quite as square. And I was into her. Hey, you know, this is my girl, right? Now, I know she's no 10, but she wasn't ever a 5 or a 3. She wasn't a pig. So, you know, I felt good. I'm like, okay, fine. And if the good thing was that she's a good, hardworking person who's a decent girl. And when I see some of these fucking pieces of shit who are on Thai Visa, and I know there are some good guys on Thai Visa, okay? So, and like I said, I know some of them. And I know some, actually probably two I know fairly well. One in particular I know very well. And, but some of the people, I don't know what the fuck they get in their head. But then again, getting all the messages I get on YouTube from these fucking numbskulls, it doesn't surprise me the kind, you get a guy, oh, he doesn't look like he got beat up. He probably was drinking beer and started shit with them. And did you ever think, you don't know shit. You're fucking making up some story in your head about something that happened. Some guy gets beat up by a fucking tuk-tuk driver. And next thing you know, everybody's saying, he probably deserved it. Ugh. Yeah, how do you know he probably deserved it? Were you there, you fucking dummy? No.
But if you said that to me, and I was the guy who got beat up, and you said it to my face, in my face, fucking man to man, I'd probably slap the shit out of you and tell you you didn't know what the fuck you were talking about. Keep your fucking nose out of my business. That's what I would probably do. Okay? Because this is the thing. You see, one thing I learned, I went to jail a couple times when I was younger. I went to jail for fighting, and I went to jail because I got a drunk driving when I was about in my 20s, all right? That was the last time, the one, the only time, and I'm fucking embarrassed about that, but you know what? You move on with life, all right? But I went to jail two or three times altogether, right? Probably three or four times, all right? But, I mean, I went to jail, and I'm talking about, I didn't go to jail, I didn't go to prison, I didn't sit in jail for months. I went to jail for like 3 days, 4 days. And the one thing that I got right away is, you don't fuck with other people's business. You don't stick your nose in other people's business for no reason. You don't fucking talk to them, generally, or stick your nose in their fucking business, unless they want you to. And every once in a while, I'll get some guy going, hey, let me give you a piece of advice. And whenever I see that, I go, shut the fuck up and get the fuck out of here. Motherfucker, I don't need your advice. Okay? Now, I'm a little tired. I'm a little cranky right now. But when I think of that, it sets me off. What the fuck makes you think I need your advice? Why are people writing in giving me their advice? Bitch, I don't need your advice. I'm the one giving the advice, and I got fucking thousands of people following me, subscribing to me, because they listen to my advice. Or they listen, they don't necessarily put it into practice. But then that's men. You know, and the one thing that I, the one takeaway from my book is, believe me, if you're a woman, you're either going to hate me with a fucking passion, or you're going to see through the fact that although I may think in a misogynistic way, when it comes time to dealing with people, that's not generally how I am, okay? And it's the same thing with meeting people, and you know, there are some times when I don't know, when there's some situations where there are people I don't particularly like and I have to meet with them, I don't go there and start a problem with them, and you know, I don't punch them out, I don't do these kind of things. I just say fuck it. You know, at the end of the day, I'm gonna go back to my man cave. And I'm going to do what the fuck I want. I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be alone with my old lady. I'm going to be alone with my kids and all the other people in the world that are outside of my man cave can kiss my ass if they don't like me. So my point before, when I was talking about my wife and the people on, I see these guys walking around with girls. And, you know, listen, I understand beauty is in the eye of the beholder, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But, like, I was bitching about this the other day about how there was one particular guy, he was a black guy, who said he lived in Thailand for 25 years, and he said, oh, the Thais really love black people, they hate white people. And I told him he was full of shit, he's fucking spouting off a bunch of nonsense, and that he's just fucking trying to instigate problems. Then he said that the bunch of Thai guys were going to slap the shit out of me. Well, let me tell you something. Three or four guys most of the time, unless they had been like a Lumpini Stadium champion or something like that, three or four guys, you know, I may take a bit of a pounding, but three or four guys are going to get, they're going to fucking take a pounding from me, even now. So if there are any fucking Thai guys out there who fucking, they feel froggy, motherfuckers, then go ahead and slap the shit out of me and see what happens, okay? Because I got some fucking asshole saying that kind of shit. I'm not a fucking violent person, believe it or not. I fucking sit there and mind my own goddamn business most of the time. But when I get these people writing into me and, oh my God, it's like, why do you have to talk about race? Why do we have to talk about being black? When I did the video that said are Thais prejudice, are they prejudicial against blacks? In my opinion, they are. That's my opinion from what I've seen, from my anecdotal experiences, from everything that I've seen in the 20 fucking plus years I've been here. I would say that Thais treat the blacks worse than they treat whites. And they treat the Indians even worse. and Pakistanis. Okay? So that's my opinion. I'm entitled to it. And you know what? We're not in America. I can say that. And if anybody doesn't like it, fuck you. Stick it up your ass. Because I don't give a shit. Okay? Because I'm sick of all these motherfuckers whining and crying. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that fucking bitch you wrote me. And she's a cunt. With a capital K. You fucking twat. Who wrote me in, why don't you ever talk about women and women's issues? I'm a vegetarian. Why don't you talk about being a vegetarian? Because I don't want to be a fucking vegetarian, you cunt. And I don't want to talk about cunts. Other than fucking them. You see, because I don't give a shit what goes on between your little fucking bird brain. You see, it didn't matter to me. I didn't give a shit. This is what people don't understand. All I care about is what I care about. If I care about something else, I'm going to do it because I want to. Not because some bitch comes in. How come you never talk about women's issues? What's your problem? You must be a male chauvinist pig. No, you're a pig and a cunt, and I'm a male. And if you don't like it, fuck off before I kick you in the twat. How's that? How's them apples, bitch? You see? So this is the mentality I'm in right now. This is my attitude. And I like when I have this attitude when I write. Which, there are many chapters in that book where I write just like I'm talking now. So, buy the fucking book. I'm not just doing a sales pitch either. But you just go on to Amazon and look for Scott Mallon, or you can go on to my fucking website, inamericanandbangkok.com. Right there in the front, there's the book. You can click on that. It'll take you right to where you pay for it. It's the, you can get an ebook and Kindle, and you can use it on other devices, apparently. And you can get a printed book. All right? Now, but that said, you know, I recommend to anybody who likes to read. No, I'm not recommending my book, although I do recommend it. Just because, you know what it is? It's a good book to read. I always say this. It's a good book to read on the shitter. You can read a story, maybe half a story, while you take a dump. You put the book down, or you put your little Kindle down, if you're, you know, like one of those kind of people. You put the Kindle down, you put the book down, you clean your ass off, and then you go and do your business. Then when you're ready, you bound right back in there in the fucking toilet. I'm in the restroom with you. Yeah, an American in Bangkok sitting in the shitter with you as you read my book. It's that kind of a book. You can read it in the shitter, and it's quite good. But I gotta say, you know, I used to really like Hemingway. And this is for people who like to read, you know. So hopefully if you're intelligent, as I'm sure all of my subscribers and listeners and members are, you'll get a kick out of this. But I used to like Hemingway, and I still like him. I think that An Old Man in the Sea, if you've ever read An Old Man in the Sea, I think it is one of the most succinct, best stories that I've ever read. And it's basically a short story, a relatively short story. I think it's one of the most well-written, I think it's the most well-written book that he's ever made. Let me put it this way. I think it's the most well-written story that he's ever written. But I like quite a bit of his work. I like A Death in the Afternoon. And I like that because one project of mine is to write about Muay Thai in a similar vein as A Death in the Afternoon, which is about bullfighting. I really like Hemingway. And I really like John Mishner, the Drifters. And there are numerous people. I like George Orwell. But I was turned on to this guy, Charles Bukowski. For some reason, I thought Bukowski was a serial killer. I think I've said this before. I started reading his books, and I couldn't put the fucking things down. Now, he only wrote 6 novels. He was a poet and an author, and he wrote all kinds of short stories and that kind of thing. But he wrote 6 novels. And in about 6 weeks, I read every single one of his novels, and I loved them. There are one or two of them that I don't love as much as the others. But, like, for instance, Post Office, On Women, fucking fantastic books. If you want to read a book and you want to get a chuckle, and it doesn't have to be about Thailand, but it's just about women and life, and it takes you inside. Most men are scared to write about what they're thinking about women or what they're thinking about a situation and what they would really like to do, and I find that extremely hard to swallow, because if you can't even write about it, obviously you're not talking about it. What does that make you as a man? It makes you a chicken shit, because you're not willing to say. I understand you need to have a filter sometimes. You need to filter what you say sometimes, because in certain situations you don't want to say certain things. You don't want to purposely offend somebody just for the purpose of it. You don't want to purposely offend somebody just because that's what you want to do. If you offend somebody, generally it should be something that you didn't intend to do. And if you did it and you really stand by what you say, then fuck it. If they're offended, they're offended. Tough shit. You know, you could say you're sorry because, you know, it's not your intention to offend them, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, this Charles Bukowski, I mean, he talks about fucking women. He talks about sticking his dick in them. He talks about people seeing his dick. He talks about jerking off. He talks about getting drunk, about trying to find a job, traveling. He talks about all kinds of stuff. The people that he hates at work, people that he likes at work, how he gets by at work. So it's not just some, like rated X kind of rated X novels that he writes. That's not it at all. I really like his stuff. And when somebody told me that I write like him, and then I had never read him. And I read his books, and I thought, oh my God, that, to me, that is, it's an honor to be mentioned in the same breath as his name. So I would highly suggest that if somebody, okay, read my book, please, and, whatever, however you want to do it, but read Bukowski, because he just took over as my favorite author from Hemingway. He completely took over. And then I read something by a guy named John Fonte. It was called Ask the Dust. And that was a pretty damn good book, too. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed how he writes. Some of the story was a little sappy for me. Just a tiny bit. It bordered on being a little sappy. But his technique and basically how he writes and how he illustrates his scenes, I found so fascinating, and so he came close to being Bukowski in several instances, but Bukowski now is somebody who is he's up there, like, with travelers and guys who are explorers. My favorite by far is Kingsley Holgate. Look him up, Kingsley Holgate. I've talked about him for a long time. He's an old white-bearded guy. He's in his 70s now. He's still traveling around with his son. His wife recently died. Damn shame, because she was in a lot of his TV shows. He used to be on TV all the time. Now I can't fucking find any of his stuff. I can't find it on YouTube. Can't download it. Can't buy it from him. I don't know what the deal is. But and then for writers, you know, I like Bukowski. I like Hemingway. And for photographers, I like, what was his name, Eugene Smith, but I like Don McCullen, who was and I know he hates us, but he was a war photographer. He was a conflict photographer for a long time. Now he's a landscape photographer. I like Eugene Smith. I like, what's his name, William Klein. I like Robert Capa. There are a lot of guys that I like as photographers. I like Michael Christopher Brown. You know, if you have to stop the podcast and write these names down and look these people up, I mean, you know, if you got the time to do it, I suggest you do it, because these are guys. I mean, I don't particularly enjoy writers so much to where I'm just going, I got to have another bookcase. I've got to get another one. I've got to get another one. Now, I got a book of Bukowski after I read all the novels. I got a book of short stories and poetry. It's called Tales of Ordinary Madness. And I got to admit, I don't like it as much as his novels, although there are some stories like The Purple Iris. That's fucking fantastic. And I know this has nothing to do with Thailand, but you know what? If you're going to live in Thailand and you're going to live like you're living back in the States or in Europe or wherever you're from, you're an expat. You're going to live in the country. You're going to have some hobbies or you're going to get bored. One of my hobbies is reading. Another is watching movies and hanging out with my kids and, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, there's always things to do. You just got to kind of find what you like and find your niche. And for me, that's reading. So if anybody wants any further information about any of these guys or anything else, this is, you know, just send me a message. But I got to say, I'm getting rid of that forum in the members section. Nobody ever writes in it. You know, if like four or five people came forward and said, hey, you know what, don't get rid of the forum, I wouldn't get rid of it. But you know what? Nobody comes forward. I mean, I get a couple of messages, and then I don't get messages for a week, and then I get a message, and then I don't get messages for a month. And, you know, at this point, all right, I understand. You know, it's kind of like, but if anybody wants, they got questions to ask me, I don't want to feel like they're, I don't want them feeling like they're slighted because I got rid of the forum and maybe you can't ask a question. You can always email me. My email address is scottmallon@me.com. You can email me directly there. You won't get some fucking auto response that says, hey, motherfucker, this ain't UNICEF, it's a business. And that is still going. I still have that auto response because I don't want all these fucking cunts who want something for nothing all the time. They want to sap my fucking time. And time is the only thing that I got. How am I supposed to create anything? Whether it's a photograph or a YouTube skit or a whatever, photographs or whatever it might be. Books. How am I supposed to do that if I'm spending every fucking minute on people who are just going, can I pick your brain? Why don't you pick my ass? How's that? Why don't you pick my ass and then we'll talk? All right? Now, you got big tits? No? Oh, well, guess what? You're out. There'd be no ass picking allowed. And oh, by the way, I got a wife, so you know what? No ass picking allowed. No brain picking. That's the, you know, that goes without saying. I'll buy you a coffee. I want to pick your brain. Ah, fuck. The fuck out of here. I have a coffee every goddamn day. I have two cups of coffee. I have one cup in the morning, and I have one cup when I go to Starbucks. You think I need you to buy me another fucking cup of coffee? Listen, I got to say, though, just since I brought that up, this fucking guy, he's an old Thai guy. And actually, he's in the book. I think he's in the chapter about growing old, where he was an old guy, and he's sitting there, and we were talking, and all of a sudden, he let out this deep sigh. And I said, hey, what's the matter? I'm tired. I said, well, go have another cup of espresso. No, I'm tired. Like, here. You know, and my body's tired, or something like that. I forget what it was, but... and the guy came up to me. He came up to me a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago. He said, hey, I see you here all the time, and we've talked a few times. He goes, let me buy you a cup of coffee. I said, no. I just had a double espresso. I don't need another one, but thank you. It's okay, you know. He said, you sure? And he's a nice guy, man. I mean, he speaks good English. He lived in Southern California, and really nice guy, okay? He's, like, retired, and now his hobby is playing guitar, so he's learning how to play guitar, and he loves it. And hell of a guy. And he came to me, I guess it was yesterday, and said, can I buy you that cup of coffee now? And I thought to myself, you know what? Fuck it. So I got four espressos in me. What's it matter? All right, I'll take a double espresso. He says, okay, here you go, buddy. Gave me a double espresso, and I was like, all right. So anyway, I guess that's all I got. I guess I vented. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I vented, and I've been rambling for an hour, so. Anyway,
I guess that's all I got. Until next time, I am Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Choke D, la jerk and mine.